Hi, I'm Phil Lamar, voice of Green Lantern in Justice League, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the pull bag. This is TFG and Mike, and this is episode 534 of the pull bag. This is Void Rivals number 3. This was pre-edited for Jesse Early's Matrix Prime YouTube channel video that he did where we were talking about Skybound Entertainment's Void Rivals number 3. So not editing for me on this one, just throwing it in here so people can hear it. And thank you so much for listening. Episode 535, where we continue on with the Transformers Marvel run, will be coming up next after this. But please, everyone, check out Skybound Entertainment's Void Rivals. It's a cool new series that we are really enjoying. Now, on with the show.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Void Rivals Rundown number 3. I am Jesse. I'm joined by TFG1 Mike.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Yeah, we're still doing this. This is the third rundown of the comic here. We still don't have a name for this thing yet.
Well, yeah, for your lovely YouTube channel here, we don't. But I'm just putting it as an episode of the pullback after the fact. And the thing is that I don't remember seeing whether this is a full ongoing, a 5-issue minis. I don't remember between the last time we recorded and now. And yeah, we are continuing on with Void Rivals number 3, like you said. For anyone who doesn't know, who's been living under a rock, written by Robert Kirkman. Art is done by Lorenzo De Felici. The colorist is Matthias Lopez, and the letterer is Russ Wooten.
Yeah, so as you were saying that, this is an ongoing comic series.
Okay.
Which kind of, as we get to the end of the synopsis here, I got a question about the ending of this comic. So.
Okay.
All right. So again, this is Void Rivals number 3. I'm going to do a quick synopsis here. The first one here comes from imagecomics.com. So it says Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo De Felici's new shared universe debuts a monstrous new villain. Fighting for their lives to return to the Sacred Ring, Derek and Salula face a new threat, capture. And they're not the only prisoners on this ship. So a quick rundown here from my notes. So Derek and Salula pick up the fight with the Skuxoid from the last issue. So if you didn't read number 2, go back, read number 2. You can listen to our breakdown of that here on my video or up on geekcastradio.com. From there, Derek is taken down by the Skuxoid, who in turn is taken down by Salila, who appears to be a really skilled fighter, not just a pilot. The two escape the Skuxoid and run through the ship looking for a place to hide. They stumble upon a room with a giant robotic scorpion they have to fight. Salila holds her own fighting it while she lures it into a mechanical door, which Derek is able to smash it with. Afterward, yep. They hear a voice from a nearby prisoner cell. Turns out to be a Quintesson executioner. The Quintesson quickly tries to befriend the two as they rush to try to escape using the Quintesson ship. When they reach the ship, they are met by a Skuxoid who explains that the Quintesson can't be trusted. Upon further research, the Skuxoid has learned that Derek and Salila are not enemies after all. So Derek and Salila are able to make a deal with the Skuxoid, giving them a ship and then leaving the Quintesson there with the Skuxoid. After a few days on the ship, as they near the Sacred Ring, Salila seemingly turns on Derek, leaving us with our issue 3 cliffhanger. So where do you want to start?
I guess we can start with the Quintesson, because you had questions all about the Quintessons.
Yeah, I mean, so going back to the Transformers the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they call essentially all those beings that we see when Hot Rod and Cup are kind of captured, they're all referred to as the Quintessons.
Mm-hmm.
And Quint, right, means 5.
Right.
And really all we see there is one character who has the 5 faces. But everyone's referred to as a Quintesson. So we did a little research before this. You sent me some notes. I was able to find some notes as well. The character we're introduced here within the comic that we also see in the movie is referred to as the Quintesson executioner.
Actually, is it the executioner or the prosecutor?
Am I wrong? Is it prosecutor?
Yeah, the executioners are the Yeah, that doesn't look like...
You're right. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
The Quintesson Prosecutor, yep.
Yeah, the Quintesson Prosecutor, because, yeah, So the way that I see this is that Quintessa is the name of the planet. Regardless of, you know, obviously, logically, Quint means five, whatever, but Quintessa is the name of the planet. They say the name of the planet several times in the movie. They are all Quintessons, just like Earth is the name of our planet, and most humans are all Earthlings kind of thing. Like, that's the only logic I can see as to calling them Quintesson Judge, Quintesson Bailiff, Quintesson Executioner, Prosecutor, Scientist, etc. It's just that's their race, I guess. I don't know.
I know, it seems very odd.
Well, it is fiction, and it was 1980s fiction, so who knows?
So, I mean, this, if you don't have a picture of this guy up, he essentially has like an alien from like the Alien movies sort of head. Right, sort of elongated backwards, and he's got like tentacles for arms, and just like the five-faced Quintesson, he's got like some sort of, I don't know, power booster thing on the bottom so he can float.
Yeah, he's got a jet type thing.
So that's kind of the description of what he looks like. Yeah. But I think back in, was it the last episode, or maybe it was the first one, where I thought maybe we would see a Quintesson as a character who pops up, and here he is.
Here he is. That's right.
So I guess as a character from the Transformers universe, is this one that you were happy to see? Is there another character you wish you would have saw?
I think what they're doing here, because the other thing is, since we've done the last one, I believe SDCC had happened, and they had done maybe we talked about this last time. I don't remember. But they did the Skybound Transformer panel recap from San Diego Comic-Con. I don't remember if we talked about that or not. And the only thing I'm going to bring up here is that, Robert Kirkman created giant building blocks for Johnson to work off of story-wise. So Kirkman created the building blocks for this. And Johnson is using, I mean, he's a good writer or whatever else, but Kirkman's writing this. So if Kirkman's making the building blocks, I like the small, like, if Void Rivals is supposed to be this brand new sci-fi space series that has hints at other things that are happening somewhere else at some point within the Skybound Entertainment new Transformers Energon universe, I'm perfectly fine with that. I like these kind of, like, I don't want to see Derek and Salila come up against Thundercracker or whatever. You know, I don't want to see, I like the way that this is going, where you're seeing random bits of, oh, here's a Skuxoid. Skuxoids were from season 3, as we talked about last issue. Here's the Quintesson Prosecutor. What the hell is he doing imprisoned with this other? And the funny thing about the Skuxoid is, like it says in this comic, the Skuxoid is only doing it for the money. He's not doing it for anything else other than to get paid. And if he ain't getting paid, then he ain't going to do it.
Well, so I got another question for you.
Sure. So
in the first issue, we saw Jetfire.
Yep.
In issue 2, right, we saw the Skuxoid. Still in this one. We saw the Quintesson in this one. We know that the Transformers comic, which is debuting in October, is kind of, I presume, based on what we've seen of a preview, is set kind of back in that 1984 time period?
Yes. So it is completely set in... Yes, it is. Yeah. I saw, again, it was another panel or another breakdown or whatever. Oh, no, here it is. It's basically 1984. One of the Q&As was, the Autobots are navigating this brand new world to them, Earth, for the first time. No plans to tie in other Hasbro properties, visionaries, and humanoids at this time. Clear, what I loved about this Q&A response, clear separation between what Paramount does with Transformers and what Skybound is doing. They do have plans to republish older comic content from IDW and Marvel, so there is that. And Skybound, even though they're starting with the 84, 85 Transformers characters, they are not limited to those with their Transformers comic. Kirkman jokes that he wants to get Bulkhead into the comic.
Is it confirmed anywhere, though, that the time period... I know they're starting with the 84, 85 figures or characters, but is it confirmed anywhere that the timeline for the comic is actually set in the 80s?
I don't think so.
Because what my question for you was going to be was, okay, we saw Jetfire in the first issue. and he took off seemingly to go somewhere, right? And we've got some other characters that we know from the world of Transformers that we saw in issue two and then here in issue three. If the Transformers series is taking place in the 80s, do you think what we're seeing here within Void Rivals may be a completely different time period? Like maybe some point in the future? Like, again, we saw Jetfire, but he would crash landed there, had been there for who knows how long. Maybe he was there at some point in the future that we will get to within the Transformers comic series.
I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I don't remember if the first two issues, if a date or a year was ever set for Void Rivals. Like, it doesn't even say. I mean, we pick up issue three right where issue two left off, with them facing off against the Skuxoid. So right. It doesn't really have a previously on, and this is the year 2157 or whatever.
Right.
And I don't remember the first two issues specifically saying a date of a year at all. So, no. Yeah. So I'm going to be an ass here and assume that it is sometime before 1984, 1985, from what I've seen and what I've heard Daniel Warren Johnson talk about. He was on somebody's podcast, YouTube, whatever, I don't remember. But he did say that it was a 84, 85 starting point. So it is after the Autobots and Decepticons leave Cybertron, the crash lander. He's basically starting a new G1, essentially, with the comic.
Okay. I just thought it'd be cool if they had like some time shifting where we thought it was taking place at the same time period and end up not being.
I'm not sure. Again, the Void Rivals characters feel to me like they are any other character from, like, and I'm only saying this because that's what I remember. Like, when the Skuxoid goes into the port in season three, when the Skuxoid is in season three of the cartoon, like all the other species of peoples that are there, the Skuxoid, this character, it's like going into the cantina in Star Wars. You have all these characters together, and I'm assuming that Derek and Salila are not characters from the future or the past or whatever timing. I'm assuming it's all in the same timeline unless the creators tell us differently. So,
okay. I was just kind of curious what your thoughts on that were. Yeah, I guess so. So overall, I guess, how do you, what did you think of this issue?
I think it's good. I think it's, comics have this tendency to do maybe one or two issues of story building kind of thing. And then they'll do an issue like this one, number three, where it's mostly, there is story building, but it's mostly an action scene. And I don't have a problem with that at all whatsoever, because you need clear separation. For me, I need clear separation with story and action. I need, some story and then, hey, guess what? We're going to go fight this guy, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or whatever. So this being more of an action issue, I like, because things are actually happening. Things are actually being done with these characters, and they're basically trying to get away from the Skuxoid or whatever they're doing with the Skuxoid here. So I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's really fun.
So I've sort of a mixed bag on this one. I do like the action. Mm-hmm. I'm a big action heavy type person. But I felt like overall it didn't really advance the story much, which again, right, I talked about last episode here. When you've only got so many panels, we got to wait a month to tell the story. I'm kind of disappointed by that, because this is 22 pages?
Something like that, yeah.
I'll talk about something in just a second. Yeah, this is 22 pages of the story here. And really all they did was leave the Skuxoid.
and we learned
about a Quintesson.
Yes, but that's two story points. Like, you're learning a little bit about the Skuxoid. Like, like I've already said, he's made mention of the fact he's only doing this to help his he's doing the bounty hunting to get money for his wife and kids to be able to eat kind of thing. He's doing it to survive kind of thing. So that's one story point. Yeah, this is only 22 pages, but most comics story are 22 pages for single issues. And I think it does a good job of, like, once they free the Quintesson, get on their ship, and I'm jumping way ahead here, we kind of have a little bit more of, like, between Derek and Celila. Oh, come on, how can you be so negative? I don't know about you, but I am... I was pretty sure we'd be dead by now. So we have some characters here. It's just that the action in this takes over a little bit more, but I'm always the one that has problems with pacing in comics at times. If things happen that I just don't think should be happening, or I just don't get it, I got this pretty easily. It's like, fight the Skuxoid, escape. Oh, wait, before we escape, there's another mysterious voice. And then there's this one-headed tentacle jet-firing prosecutor Quinto. Okay, well, so now who can we trust? We trust the Skuxoid, or do we trust the Quintesson and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I think it worked.
Yeah, I just wish the pacing was a little bit quicker in terms of, like, overall story. So last panel here, uh-huh. or last page, sorry. Celila seemingly turns on Derek. What do you think is going on there?
I do not know, but I can't wait to find out.
So I guess so. The lead up to this is, right, they're approaching the Sacred Ring. Sacred Ring is split essentially into two, one for each one of their races.
Yep.
And they're each going to basically go their own separate ways so that they're not landing together in one, you know, one side of the ring. Right. And this is when she seemingly turns on him and uses some sort of electric zappy power from her staff.
Yeah.
It knocks him out. I'm wondering, like, if she's going to sort of take him to her side of the ring as a quote unquote prisoner.
I don't know, I guess. Yeah, no, I don't know what's going to happen with her, why she did the thing to Derek, and whether she's taking him prisoner. And hey, so far they've kept each other alive. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. So I'm almost wondering if that's kind of what's going to happen. She's going to take him to her side. If you go, see what page is this on. Again, I'm looking at the digital version of the comic.
Me too.
If you go to page 30, right, we get the cover for Void Rivals number 4. Okay. It's someone sitting on some sort of throne there. Based on the colors, I would think it would be on Celila's half of the ring.
Yeah, most likely.
Like I've said, I'm almost wondering if she's going to take him there as a sort of quote-unquote prisoner. But if, you know, essentially knocking him out was a kind of sort of a way to kind of help protect him. I think she's ultimately still going to be working with him. They're going to be working together. But I'm wondering if she's just kind of doing this, I guess, for her benefit when she does take him to her side of the ring. My thoughts would be that he would essentially be a prisoner, but that she would help him kind of once they're there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure, but...
Again, this is an ongoing series, so I can't see them being foes here. I think they're going to continue to team up as the series goes on.
Yeah, I think this shocking cliffhanger kind of thing is number one. We're at the third issue. We need to do something besides random, I don't mean random as in to be insulting, but random Transformers guest appearances. We need to do something with these characters. We need to, like was said earlier in the comic, she's not just a pilot, is she? Kind of like there's more to Jesse, damn it. There's more to her than meets the eye. God damn it. I was hoping not to have to make that reference, but like, and that's the thing is that who knows? Maybe she is doing this to protect him. Maybe she is doing this to what we don't know because she just does it. And that's what I like. She just does it. There is no like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to knock you out now. What? Like, there's right. None of that kind of stuff. Like, suspense. And I think that's good because comics do need suspense, especially if you're starting a brand new title, a brand new universe with these characters specifically, the Void Rivals characters specifically, and whatever their lovely ring is between the two races. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
So I think that's all I've got here for issue 3. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
It's a series that I'm invested in to the point of I'm perfectly fine doing it this way, whereas normally I would be like, no, I'm waiting for the trade. No, I want the whole story at one time. It's like the old Netflix model, like stream everything all at once kind of thing. But no, this is fun. We figure out a day and date to record these, and this is awesome. And yeah, it's hopefully everyone's joining us for these as far as like getting to read the comic for themselves, because what comics needs today, in my personal opinion, is something new and fresh yet familiar. And I think that's what Void Rivals is. We are introduced to new characters and new races, yet there's a Rockaroid or a Skuxoid or a Quintesson Prosecutor or whatever here and there and everywhere. So, yeah, that covered issue 4. September 20th can't get here fast enough.
The last issue before Transformers number 1?
Yep. So they're probably, I don't know, again, I'm being an ass here, assuming things, they're probably going to ramp up a little bit on the Transformers stuff in issue 4, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe they'll either introduce something Transformers related within that, or maybe they'll give us another more extended preview at the end. I'll have to make sure to check the end of that.
I always read to the end of the book, no matter what, just in case.
Yeah.
Because I forget stuff. Like, I'm like, when you said there was a preview, I'm like, wait a minute, another one? Was there another new one? Because I'm all, Steve and I run a Transformers podcast. There's not, at least out of the news that we pay attention to, there's not many things that we miss. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, right. Yeah. The one from the thing and the whatevers. So, yeah, no. But
this lesson learned for me. I'll go to the end next time. So I guess in closing, there's two other things I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. One's a complaint.
Okay.
Other than what I just talked about story-wise. This isn't a complaint about the story, but specifically the letter type for the Quintesson. When I read on digital, the digital version of the comic, I have an iPad here. The iPad is roughly, at least the size I've got, is roughly about the same exact size as a regular comic book. The dimensions are slightly different, but that's about the size. So I don't really do any zooming on the panels or anything. I'm reading it kind of full page. Mm-hmm. And at that view, I had a hard time reading some of the characters for the words for the Quintesson. Like the the A and the R, that was very hard for me to distinguish between a couple of those within the words that he was saying. So I was like, I'm on page, what page am I on here? Page 13. The Quintesson says, after you have aided in me returning to my ship. And the very first time I was reading that, I'm like, after you have righted me, I'm like, righted me? Because the A and the R looks very, very similar in some aspects there. But yeah, so I just, as I got to the Quintesson, I had a hard time reading some of the text. So that in that instance, I had to zoom in to read it just because of the way the characters were. So that's kind of really my complaint about that. But
yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention is, so far, at least from what I was able to find online, this issue has not sold out yet, like the first two.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means for the series going forward. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it'll be sold out here within a day or two. But I did notice that it has not been sold out yet. We've not gotten word that it is going to be reprinted yet. And if it is going to be reprinted, we don't have any pictures of what those covers might look like at this point.
Yeah, they'll probably do that a little bit closer to the time. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see.
The first two sold out like the same day it was released. Day or two?
Pretty much, yep. I'm not sure.
I would imagine that if this does sell out and there's a reprint, it's probably going to have the Quintesson on the front.
Probably. Most likely. Yeah, I do not see anything here that says... Yeah, it's just number one and number two were the sellouts.
Yep.
And I don't think that we're... Quite literally 30 days away from Void Rivals number 4, and really, League of Comic Geeks has a preview already? Well, that doesn't surprise me, but hang on, give me a second here. Okay, maybe they don't have... Wow, it's just listed there. They don't know. They have the cover? Yeah, they have the cover. They don't have any interiors. Okay, so they've got at least up to issue 5 on the covers, and the issue 5 cover is...
So Image Comics might have this as well, but StadiumComics.com does have the little blurb. It says, the climactic return to the Sacred Ring. The Energon universe continues here. Thrown before the highest authority for their crimes against the Sacred Ring, will Derek and Celia's newfound alliance hold strong?
Let's hope. I'm putting the cover for issue 5 into our G-chat there. I'm loving that purple. That's all I can say.
does look like he's a prisoner.
Yes, he's very much a prisoner there.
All right.
So who knows what's going to happen.
And Dracula lurking in the background in the shadows.
Yeah, Dracula, Darth Vader, something like that. Probably not, but, well, no, that guy looks like he's too tall to be a Sharktacon.
He's an Energon vampire.
That could be. Who knows? I'm still waiting for Energon to be like, they're calling it the Energon universe. I'm waiting for the actual Energon to be actually introduced.
Well, I mean, you said that we saw it in the first issue, right?
They just
refer to it as Energon.
They just never refer to it, so who knows?
Yep. I think that's all I've got.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool.
All right. So plugs, what do you got to plug?
Let's see. Go over to geekcastradio.com. You can check out all of our content there. We've got 500 and this will be episode 534 for the plus. We got 534 episodes of the Pullback. We've got 400 and something episodes of all things Transformers. We've got Altered Geek. We've got Cinema Geeks. We've got all kinds of geeks and stuff and all that good stuff. I am still riding out that storm before they X everybody out. I am at TFG and Mike on X. I'm on Threads. I think it's TFG and Mike Presents, which is the same as Facebook. I'm on Blue Sky, but Blue Sky is like, why can't they just have an at name? Why does it have to be TFG and Mike dot Blue Sky dot this dot? They're like, just have one. Make it simple, stupid.
Well, it's because it can be, you can come from it from multiple servers. So you have to identify what server you're on, right? So you could also, you could even have like your own domain name, for example, right? So you could have geekcastradio.com.
Yeah.
So you could have TFG1 Mike at geekcastradio.com would be your Blue Sky name. You just have to set that up.
That's too much work. but yeah, that's where you can find most of our stuff.
All right. Well, you can find me on YouTube. If you're listening to this or watching this, you're already on my YouTube channel. If you're listening to it, you may be on geekcastradio.com, but you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. I don't really push out too many, toy reviews anymore. It's mostly just a hodgepodge of different shit. Sometimes it's stuff like this. Sometimes it's like how to make dill pickles, which is surprisingly one of my highest rated videos.
So it's funny you're mentioning your lovely YouTube channel here. I was actually looking at your, I'm like, oh my God, his highest viewed video is like a decade and a half ago at over 2 million views.
Yeah, that's the Transformers, the movie 2007, Concept Camaro Bumblebee.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yep. That's still my highest rated, or highest viewed.
Highest viewed, yeah.
But yeah, I still occasionally get like some new comments on there, and I'm like, people are still watching this. Like, what? So again, if you like anything on my channel there, go ahead and subscribe. You can also find me on Blue Sky. I am at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Early, E-A-R-L-E-Y, at B-S-K-Y.social. I started an entire Transformers feed over there. The network didn't have it. I created it. It's up there. Anything you want to find Transformers related will show up in that feed. Blue Sky doesn't have hashtags yet, but I know that is something they are currently working on. So if you go there, you get an account. If you type any word that's got the word Transformers in it, right? So even if you do hashtag Transformers, it will show up in this feed. So you can follow that feed. And if you need help finding it, let me know. I can share the link with you. But yeah, again, it shows everything on there. There's quite a few. What I find about Blue Sky is that there's quite a few artists that kind of have moved over to that network. And I'm starting to see like a lot of custom artwork for Transformers pop up in this feed. So
very cool. Very cool.
It's got a lot of stuff out there. I saw you just shared the Geekcast Radio links on there. I've got to go ahead and like those yet, but I saw you that you did share those out there. So again, you can find me on Blue Sky. So I think that's it.
I think that's it too.
All right. So till next time, when we'll be taking a look at issue 4, again, the last issue before Transformers number 1. All right. So I think that's it. Till next time. This is Jesse signing off.
This is Mike. Catch you later. All right, folks, there you have it. As always, for the pull bag, visit geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on X, Facebook, and all that other good stuff. I've been TFG and Mike. He was Jesse Early. We will catch you next time here inside the pull bag. Remember, make your great escape into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pull Bag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.